From the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio. This is a first shot here for me with this format. I'm going to be trying to make this into a podcast, so there might be a few little mistakes here and there going along the way, but nevertheless, I'm going to try and get this thing going as easily as possible for you guys. For those of you who haven't heard me before, my name is Ian Levenstein. I did this show with my buddy Marvin last semester here on Brooklyn College Radio, and Marvin has decided to go off on his own little route, and I mean, good for him, because he's going to be setting up his own podcast, Red Shift, which you'll be able to hear here on Brooklyn College Radio on Fridays from 3 to 4, and I decided to take over Geek Speak, so you'll be hearing all of the tech news you can possibly fit into a show here on Brooklyn College Radio, and hopefully soon at the Geek Speak website. I'm trying to get up a TypePad account, and hopefully once that's set up, you'll be able to hear this podcast weekly from TypePad. So, give you a little bit of my background here. I am a anime dude. Yeah, pretty much. I run the anime club here at Brooklyn College. I'm the president of that, and like I said, I've been doing this show for the past semester. Now, I listen to a lot of tech podcasts. I listen to This Week in Tech, which is obviously the big one. Leo Laporte and the guys, the former Tech TV guys, running their own show there over at, now over at a bar in San Francisco. They actually tape it live, which is great for them because, I mean, it's a lot easier to get that done than the old setup they used to have over there. Watch a few vidcasts as well. I'm a big fan of System, and actually I'm going to get into that a little bit later on here in the program. Information that System is going through a bit of changes right now, and the fans are not 100% happy. Mind you, I'm not one of them that's unhappy with it, but hey, you know, you can't please everybody, I guess. Also, I'm going to be getting into today news on the brand new iPod Nano. Obviously, this came out over the summer. I'm going to be going through some information here that obviously most of you guys probably know by now, but because I was gone for a summer, I didn't get a chance to talk about this stuff. So I'm going to try and get as many of those informations in as possible. Also, Macintosh switching over to the Intel chips for their main line of computers. Get a little gaming review in. Get a review of Burnout Revenge in, which is my brand new video game obsession. Wasn't playing video games for a while, but this is getting me to play them all over again. And hopefully I will have time to finish it off with my little sports rant that I do to promote my other show here on Brooklyn College, The Sporting Goods, my little wind-up that I do at the end of the program. So there we go. That's a little bit of the information going on here. Number to call is 718-951-4444 if you're interested in talking some tech and gaming with Ian Levenstein here on Geek Speak. And I'm going to get right underway. Obviously, a lot of you guys probably know about this already. A lot of you guys probably own one already. The iPod Nano has come out, Macintosh's brand new iPod creation. And this is the smallest one yet. This baby, you can fit this in the palm of your hand. Now, obviously, if you look back on the line, if you look back on the original iPod, this thing was clunky. This thing was huge. It had a regular hard drive in there, so obviously they had to fit the hard drive in there. And because of that, barely be able to fit it into your pocket when you're walking around. So you'd have to literally hold the thing. Then they came out with the next generation iPods, which were a little bit smaller, had more gigabytes of space, which was certainly important. And then they came out, of course, with the iPod Mini. The iPod Mini was their shot at trying to work with a brand new system, try and make their iPod smaller. Now the iPod Nano comes around. The iPod Nano, using a flash card, using a flash hard drive, to get themselves a 4 gigabyte iPod that can fit in your hand. Now, I mean, I saw this baby dissected on System the other day with their last subsystem that they do. Give them a little plug over at system.org. And I got to tell you, this thing is incredible how they're able to fit all that memory into such a small machine. Just absolutely boggles my mind. Now, I'm not too much of a fan of Apple or the iPods in general, mainly because I feel that they're monopolizing the market a little bit. But hey, you know, if you got a product, run with it. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They did an amazing job with getting this thing smaller and smaller and smaller with every single edition that came out. And now we got the smallest one yet. The thing is, a little information for you guys. I was browsing Amazon last night, trying to find myself a little USB headset mic to do a little recording at home. And one of the first things that came up, surprisingly enough, was a MP3 recorder that the Zen company uses. Zen, obviously, creator of the Zen Micro, who my old partner Marvin used to fawn over last semester. And the Zen Micro's successor's name was, okay, now ready for it, brace for it, okay? The Zen Nano. Huh. Isn't that a bit of a coincidence there, folks? Yes, the Zen Nano was out before the Zen Micro actually, excuse me, my mistake, before the iPod Nano actually hit the stores. So Zen has a case on their hands, and it looks like Apple's going to get sued again. Yeah, Apple's really good at that lately. Apple has gotten sued over the iPod interface. They have gotten sued again over the iPod interface, over a new copyright holder of that interface. They got beat out by Macintosh. Excuse me, they got beat out by Windows. They got beat out by themselves. That's amazing. Although, that, honestly enough, they did accidentally sue themselves once, but let me not get into that. Yeah, Windows beat them with the copyright on their own interface. All right? That's just sad. Seriously. I mean, they've been making these iPods for a couple years now. They've been making them for at least 3 or 4 years, and they were late, period. They were just going nice and slow. They figured, okay, fine, nobody's going to try and take this from us, so we might as well, you know, just give it a shot. And by the time they actually went to the copyright office and said, hi, yeah, we have this interface that we'd like to copyright because we use it in our iPods, they said, oh, yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Thing is, yeah, Microsoft beat you to it. They filed the claim for it about 4 months back. And, of course, Microsoft, being the nice people that they are, said, oh, sure, we'll be more than happy to let you use it for royalty fees. Yeah. Royalty fees. Macintosh having to pay royalty fees for their own interface. That is getting kicked in the face, folks. I mean, when you look at it, Apple is pretty much destroying the competition here, okay? That's pretty much what's going on. They just need to shape up a little bit. I mean, their business plan, not exactly going the best it can possibly go. Now, look at it this way, okay? Smoothly switching over to the next topic about Apple switching over to the Intel processors for their operating system. OS X Tiger has been in production under the Intel chip for some time now. They're actually going to be releasing their Intel computers sometime in the near future, possibly within the next year. Now, the thing is with this is that when you have a operating system that runs on the most popular chipset for your competitor, well, obviously people are going to try and pirate you. I mean, it's a given. And that's already what's been happening. As soon as it got announced that Tiger will be able to run on Intel processors, the hackers got to work, and they got to work fast, to the point where they have made a version of OS X Tiger that runs natively on an Intel chip, on a PC chip, without using a Macintosh computer. And Macintosh is screwed, because they were never planning on releasing this as a software. The main idea behind Macintosh is that it's a package deal. That's how they make their money. They make their money off of selling the computers, not off of the OS. So chances are, unless they put some sort of copyright protection on this thing, which chances are, even if they do, people will break it, then they are out of luck, and they are out of luck bad, guys. Dropping the ball, really. Macintosh. There's problems there. Switching over to the Windows side of things, obviously, a lot of you people have found out about this by now. The Windows Vista Beta 2 has come out, and it is loaded, and I mean loaded, with ideas. Yeah, it's loaded with ideas. The thing is, it pretty much looks exactly like XP. Obviously, there are some differences, like, for instance, the window blinds being native to the system now, where you actually be able to see behind you. It's, you know, it's a nice feature. They redesigned the start menu as well, so that instead of it cluttering up your screen, it'll all be in one little corner on the left side of your screen, which is, again, a nice little addition there. But past that, all those things that they promised you, really not inside the OS yet. They were ambitious when they first started this project, back when it was still known as Longhorn. But after that, really not much innovation going on here. But what is going on here, and which is probably going to stop me from upgrading my computer to Vista, I'm going to stick with XP for now, is the copyright protection on the files is insane. Incredibly insane. They have enough copyright protection on these files where you might very well not be able to even read Word files on other computers. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? If you were not able to send your own files without getting some sort of encryption problem going on, that'd be insane. Absolutely insane. One of the most important things about Windows files is that you can just send them to other people very, very easily. Not anymore. Not anymore. Is Windows dropping the ball here? Are they just trying to please the FCC and all those other lovely companies out there that are trying to get rid of piracy? Obviously they are, and they want to also stop piracy of their own system. They tried to come up with the Windows Genuine Advantage, which failed miserably because literally a week after they came out with the new Windows Genuine Advantage, which made you register your XP programming every time you wanted to update your XP, a week later it was cracked. A week later. And it wasn't even a crack either. All you had to do was go into your system, go into your BIOS, and uncheck something. Uncheck one little box, and you were able to download your updates like normal if you had a pirated system. So Windows Genuine Advantage didn't exactly work as planned. And the copyright protection here, I mean, they want to make sure that you're not going to be able to watch any illegal DVDs. They want to make sure that you're not going to be able to watch any illegal TV shows. They want to make sure that you are totally screwed out of doing everything you enjoy on your computer. Let's admit it, folks, all right? If you have the capability of watching television on your computer, if you have the capability of downloading an episode of a television series that you missed, you're going to take that. Even TiVo now is coming out with a system that where you might very well end up losing your programming that you have on your TiVo box after a allotted amount of time is over. That's just nuts, folks. People buy TiVo so that they can watch and save programs for a long period of time. And they're not doing it for illegal use or anything like that. I mean, let's say, for example, you end up on a television. Okay, you end up on the air on some network or on some show, and you want to have that saved for the rest of your life. So what do? You TiVo it. And it sits on that TiVo hard drive untouched until you want to get rid of it. Would you want to get rid of it? I don't think you would. With the new TiVo systems that are coming out, they want to make it so that there's a limit on how long you're able to keep your programming. Whether it be a couple of months, whether it be a couple of weeks, we're not sure yet. All we know is that I'm not liking it. I am not liking it indeed. Over on the TV side of things, the prices of LCD and plasma televisions are dropping drastically. And I'm loving it, guys. My dad's been looking for a brand new flat-screen TV for a while now. He wants to completely revitalize our home entertainment system. We have a TV. One of our TVs has literally been in our house longer than I've been alive, right? I'm 21 years old. And this TV has been there since they were married in 1974. the speakers are shot, but you can still watch television on it. Like, a lot of the times we'll be taping something in the other room and we'll just connect that TV back to the VCR and, you know, record what we want to record and then switch it back off, which is fun to say the least, but we're kind of getting tired of that. So what we're planning on doing is moving the current television out of the living room, moving that into my parents' room, getting rid of the old clunker, and buying ourselves a flat screen TV. But it's a lot harder than it looks, because you got a lot of options out there these days. You got the plasma, you got the LCD, you've got the new combination plasma LCD that just came out that's being made by Texas Instruments. Yeah, Texas Instruments, the guys who made your calculators are now making TVs. Interesting. But what are you going to do? I mean, see, the main thing is that while plasma does look amazing, there's one thing that gets me about the plasmas. It's that you have to get a certain size plasma or else you cannot actually watch your TV. The pixels are too large to go past a certain size. So you can't get a small plasma TV. And also, looking at the plasmas, we realize that when you stand too close to a plasma, you see those pixels and you see them well. That's a bit of a drawback. I mean, do you really want to have to stand a certain... I mean, yeah, literally, for the first time in your life, people saying, don't stand too close to the TV, you're actually going to not want to stand too close to the TV, because if you do, all you're going to see is a bunch of pixels. A bunch of pickles. If you saw pickles, that'd be interesting. And with the LCDs, mind you, there is a similar problem. There is a similar pixelization problem going on with that, but not nearly as bad as with the plasma. But the prices are dropping on both of them right now. They're really competing against each other. Pretty much the same sort of competition that's going on with DVDs right now between Blu-ray and HD DVD. Xbox, of course, going with the HD DVD, and PS3 going with the Blu-ray as the next generation. And movie companies are split down the middle with this as well. You might very well have to choose which one you're going to go with. It's Beta and VHS all over again. Really, did you really think that this was going to end up happening again? I mean, it didn't really happen with Laserdiscs and DVDs because it was, like, no contest at all. I mean, it was a giant, ginormous disc or one the size of a CD. Which would you go with? Obviously, you're going to go with the DVD. Now, here with the HD DVD and the Blu-ray, it's a tough decision because they're both incredible, incredible enhancements. I mean, you feel like you're there. If you're watching a sports program, you're going to feel like you're in the front row, even more than you do with HD TV. These DVDs are going to be amazing. Problem is, which one do you go with? Now, I really do not want to see a market out there. I mean, sure, competition is a good thing, but I don't want to see a market out there where you have to literally choose which one you're doing, because these players are going to be about $300, $400 when they first come out. Now, until there's a definitive choice in this market, I'm really not going to want to choose. I'm really not going to want to choose. Because if I do, and I choose wrong, well, that's sort of not really something I want to do. I mean, wouldn't you think the same way? A lot of people waited on Beta and VHS, which was smart for them, because anyone who ended up with a Beta player obviously ended up getting screwed over. They ended up with a piece of junk. They ended up with a paperweight because Beta eventually got beaten. Beta was the better product, mind you. Beta was indeed the better product, but VHS was cheaper. Now, if that ends up happening this time around, that ends up happening with these equipments here. Like, let's say HD DVD tries to make themselves $100 less than the Blu-ray. Then there's really not going to be too much of a contest going on here. It's pretty much going to come down to who's cheaper, who has a better marketing plan, and who has the better movies. Disney's on one side, Warner Brothers on the other side. Sony's on one side, MGM's on the other side. It's a tough decision out there, folks. It really is. And I hope you guys make the right decision. I really do, because if you don't, well, you're going to be bit left behind. You're going to feel like a Beta owner all over again. shifting over to video games now, as I start you guys off with a review. Finally picked up Burnout Revenge. It had only been out for about a week, and I just could not stop myself from running it to the store and getting myself Burnout Revenge. And it's a good investment so far. Gotten a lot of fun gameplay out of this. Obviously, Burnout 3 was the quintessential Burnout that came out. This is the one that put it on the map. This is the one that made it the game everybody wanted to get. You were crashing cars, and it was fun. God, is that fun. Destruction. Woo! Yeah, woo! And now, Burnout Revenge comes out. And Burnout Revenge is exactly what I was hoping to find from the Burnout series. It's not just another Burnout 3. It's not just the same product rehash. It's not Madden. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just say that? Yeah, I mean, what? It's an EA product, but it's an ingenious, intuitive sequel to an EA product. Madden, you're not going to see too many enhancements these days over a Madden product. Because they have the freaking license. They don't have to make enhancements. All they have to do is put out the same game year after year, and people will buy it because it's the only choice now. Unless you buy a Blitz or something like that. But I digress. Burnout Revenge. Now, the main enhancements, the main differences between Burnout 3 and Burnout Revenge are that in Burnout 3, you had to be wary of crashes in race mode. If you knocked into somebody, chances are you were going to go flying, and you'd have to hope for one of those takedowns. Now here in Burnout Revenge, there a car in front of you? Smash into it. It's out of your way. That's the most ingenious, creative way they could have dealt with this. You can use traffic to your advantage, finally. Not just in crash mode where it's important to crash into people. Oh no, if you crash here, just blow yourself up. Isn't that something? Blow yourself up, stop the opponents from getting from to in front of you, and you're good to go. The crash mode completely redesigned as well. Now, in previous crash modes, the main goal was to aim yourself at the multipliers. Aim yourself at the times 4, the times 2, whatever the multiplier happened to be. Avoid the heartbreaker, because that would half your score. And aim for those extra little bonus monies. Now, here in Burnout Revenge, all those multipliers that you tried to aim for, they're all gone, baby. They are no longer what you are looking for. And I say thank you. Thank you very much, people, because that was such a letdown. A lot of people enjoyed that. A lot of people enjoyed aiming themselves at the multipliers. But to me, it got repetitive after a while. Very, very repetitive. I mean, you're aiming for the exact same thing every single time. And after a while, you just don't want to do that anymore. Here, with Burnout Revenge, it's like golf with cars. It's like kicking a field goal with cars. Yeah, chances are you never expected to hear that in your life. Kicking a field goal with cars, wow. Like, that would be an interesting mode in Madden. But here, you got a meter, okay? Just like you have in a golf game, just like you have when you're kicking a field goal in football. And the object is to aim yourself at the right spot on that meter. Obviously, when it gets to the top, you press X. Or if you got your Xbox controller, obviously the connections will be different. I got the PS2 version because I'm a PS2 guy. When it comes back down, you press X right when it gets in that range. And you get to get a boost. If you miss it and you do the wrong type of thing, well, then you're not going to get a boost, and you're going to miss 3/4 of the cars and have to fight your way back, which is tough. It really is. A lot tougher than you think, because with that slow start, literally, you are going to miss at least 1/4 to a half, sometimes even 3/4 of the cars, depending on how fast they're going. And to make it even more enjoyable, there's ramps that you can take and fly off onto another part of the road. Not like in the old one where there were, you know, just random ramps that jumped you, and that's it. No, in this one, actual on-ramps and off-ramps that you can take and decide, do I want to be up here, do I want to be off there? If there's a break in the road, you jump it, you hit it. If you don't hit it, chances are you're probably going to hit some cars. And it's a completely redesigned crash mode. It's very, very fun. And I'm going to have to give this game an 8 out of 10. I mean, it did have some faults. I mean, for one thing, I know for a fact that traffic mode is going to get tired after a while. Because, I mean, how often can you crash into the cars in front of you to get rid of them? I mean, sure, it is really, really fun, incredibly fast-paced. But still, I mean, you can only do that for so long. And the music. Oh, the music. See, when I play a game like Burnout, it really makes me wish that I had something like, like an Xbox. Yeah, there you go. With an Xbox, obviously, you can rip music onto your hard drive and replace the soundtrack with whatever you want it to be. Not to be the case with a PS2. Sorry, but no. All these games just stuck with the in-game music. And the in-game music here is so repetitive. Every single track on this album, except for maybe two or three, all have the exact same guitar riffs. It's amazing. It's like they found the exact same band for all of this. Obviously, they didn't, because, I mean, they're all different bands, but they all must have been taught by the same guitar teacher or something. I mean, my God. I would very much like to see a change here. With the PS3, I'm sure there will be a bit of a change going on. But still, I just cannot stand that music. So yeah, I give an 8 out of 10 to Burnout Revenge. Switching over to a different video game bit of information here. I'm sure everybody has seen and exploded over Nintendo's new toy. Well, that sounded dirty. The Nintendo Revolution. Now, when I first heard about this Nintendo Revolution and I saw that it looked like a disk drive, yeah, I was not impressed. I mean, this thing literally looks like an external hard drive or an external CD player for a laptop. Now, I know that they're looking for their sleek look and all that. They're trying to think that maybe gamers want a small system that they'll be able to carry around and take wherever they want it to go. But it just did not mesh with me. Then I got the announcement. I heard the announcement. And I got it because I got it delivered in my mailbox. That the Nintendo Revolution will have a download service that will allow you to play old Nintendo games, N64 games, and SNES games. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting little backwards compatibility thing going on there. They're all going to be available. You can all download them on there and play them whenever you want. Plenty of great N64 titles to choose from as well. They are going to try to get the third parties involved with this as well. I think they're going to have at least some third-party games on there, but mostly the Nintendo games. So the Lynx, the Marios of the world, the Kobe Bryant basketball, that sort of thing. And they'll probably try to get the third parties as well, like THQ. THQ obviously made the best wrestling games for the N64. WWF No Mercy, best wrestling game of all time. I mean, you're not going to top it. It had everything right. The grappling system was perfect back then. And to me, pretty much every wrestling game since then has paled in comparison. Mind you, I don't watch wrestling anymore, so I might be a little biased there. Like, you know, back in my youth, this was the game I played. But seriously, like, you don't really need a lot, like, good graphics for a wrestling game. What you need is gameplay. and the gameplay has just not held up over the years. So the Nintendo Revolution, all that backwards compatibility, you know, good for them. But I still wasn't impressed. I mean, I thought, okay, fine, this is a nice little addition here, but I have my N64 games. You know, I have all my ROMs on my computer. Don't tell anyone. Oh, wait, I just said it over the air. Damn. And I have basically everything that I'll need. Even have a USB connector, which, well, I'm going to. I'm probably going to go to Radio Shack any day now to pick it up. A USB connector for my PlayStation 2. So that I'd be able to connect my PlayStation 2 controller to my computer. Play all my games on there. And the Nintendo Revolution then comes out with the killer. This made every single gamer go, what the... Yeah, I can't continue that because this is an on-air show, but you get the idea. They were like, what is this? They saw it. It's a remote control. That's literally the best way that you can describe it. This is a remote control. Now, the way you hold it like a remote control. I mean, you have the option of using it like anything else. But you're basically going to be using it that way. It has sensors on it that allow you to feel like you're in the game. When you move, your character will move. If you swing your baseball bat, then your character will swing their baseball bat, and so on and so forth. I mean, this stuff was amazing. Never did I expect anything like this to come out of Nintendo. I mean, they are, in many ways, the house of ideas. I mean, they are the thing that started it all. But I felt that they were dead. I really did. But apparently not. And now, here's the kicker as well. Not only do you have this revolutionary state-of-the-art controller, but you also have, now wait for it, in your second hand, yeah, not connected to it, but in your second hand, you have a analog control stick. Okay, yeah, I let you guys take a little bit of a breath there. You have an analog control stick in your second hand. So here's your setup. You've got your remote control, because, I mean, what else are you going to call it? You got the remote control in one hand, and you got your analog in the other hand. And that's how you're going to be playing games now. Now, for the compatibility with the previous games, and by the way, I also forgot to mention these will play GameCube games as well. Not sure whether you're going to be downloading them or whether you're going to be using the pre-existing GameCube games, but you will be able to play them on the Revolution. If you want, you can turn your remote control around and play it like a bum, bum, bum NES controller. Yay! Woohoo! Yeah, that just absolutely blew my mind. When you turn this baby around, it pretty much is an NES controller, which is just perfect. Because, I mean, if you're going to be downloading these other games and all that, wouldn't you want to play it on a controller that feels like the old controller you used for years? That's certainly what I want to do, and I'll be able to if I do indeed get the system. Chances are, if I don't get the system, I'm at least going to have some friends that do get it, so I'll be able to try it out. But yeah, just amazing news coming out of Nintendo. I certainly did not expect this to happen. I'm glad it did happen. But nevertheless, wow, guys. I hope you guys are as excited about this as I am, because, I mean, otherwise, you know, I mean, there's really no point for me to go on. So, yeah, Nintendo Revolution, coming soon. Actually, a revolution, living up to its name. Anime portion. Yay. Yes, it is the anime segment here on Geek Speak. going to be getting into a bit of news for you guys. The official release date of... You see, there is a reason why I played that music. The official release date for the Helsing OVA has been released. Yeah. Nah, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. The official release date for the Helsing OVA has been released. It will be coming out in Japan on December 4th, I believe. In fact, actually, I will type it in right now into this joyous computer and double check that that is indeed the release date. But yes, it will be coming out in Japan in December. This is going to be the first two episodes of the Helsing OVA. For those of you who have followed Helsing in the past, the old Helsing series was good, but just not really what you wanted to see. I mean, mind you, it was the first thing that I saw of Helsing, so back then I thought it was really, really well done. But then I started reading the manga, and I realized past maybe episode 7, there's absolutely no correlation between the anime and the manga. No correlation whatsoever. I mean, what are you going to do with that? Seriously. I mean, they ran out of material, so I can understand why they did that. But nevertheless, they introduced this guy named Incognito as the main baddie for the Helsing anime that was not created by Kota Hirano, the creator of Helsing, who looked like he was genitalist, seriously. I mean, this dude was dressed in purple, okay? Was skinny. He had, the skinniest neck you can possibly imagine, okay? Mind you, he did have a cool gun, but, like, this was not anything that you saw before in Helsing. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up. So, you know, I thought maybe, okay, fine, maybe Kota started, you know, taking drugs or something, and that's why that sort of thing was going on. But no, that is not why it happened. It's because they ran out of material. So then once I started reading the Helsing manga, I saw the Millennium Organization, the true baddies of Helsing. And I was blown away by it. I mean, it's 12 times better than the actual Helsing anime was. And I'm glad to see that we're actually going to see this story now. Now, the most important thing here, and yes, the release date is December 9th, 2005. I'll actually read the source here. This is coming from Anime News Network, which is pretty much the site on the internet to get all your anime news. So, nice little plug there for Anime News Network. Volume 1 of Geneon's hotly anticipated Helsing Ultimate OVA has finally been given a release date in Japan. The first volume will street December 9th, 2005, in both a regular and limited edition. Details on the limited edition are spare. As of press time, the limited edition has a special cover by Kota Hirano himself and four extra pages in the DVD booklet. The program will run 35 minutes each episode and be in 16:9 anamorphic widescreen. Oh, baby, I'm drooling. This is the sort of release that you need as an anime fan. And I am a huge fan of the Helsing Ultimate OVA, and it hasn't even come out yet. Now, the trailer did have some flaws, however, that are, I mean, as a purist, a lot of the people who were involved with the Helsing scene, again, I'll plug a site over at bloodknight.net, there were some people who were a bit iffy on the animation, a bit iffy on the soundtrack. Rip Van Winkle, one of the main vampires in Millennium, suddenly has a pink shirt, which was not her original design at all. And everybody's wondering what's going on here. But I think you're taking this way too seriously, folks. Seriously, okay? First of all, it was a trailer, okay? Now, this trailer was put together in a very, very short amount of time. Okay, they did not have a lot of time to work with this at all. They wanted to have this out and ready in time to be shown at Anime Expo here in the States because they told everybody that they'd have a working trailer there. Now, the trailer that played there had a song called Broken English in it. It was a cover, actually, of a song called Broken English. And the actual trailer that got released by Geneon did not have this Broken English song in it. Broken English by Shaft was the opening theme. And everybody thought, okay, wow, this is a great opening theme. Can't wait to see this in the Helsing anime, blah, 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 blah. But it didn't end up there. The music that did play, I don't see why people had a problem with it. It was orchestral and techno. It was a bit of a combination between the two. And it fit the series pretty well, I think. It fit the trailer very, very well. But people were still complaining over it. I say wait until the actual OVA, because a lot of the stuff that you saw in this trailer, chances are you will not see in the OVA. They used a lot more CGI than you would think they would use in the OVA trailer. And it's just not the sort of thing that I am going to be expecting to see come the release of this series. So there you go. News on the Helsing OVA. I hope you all enjoy that as well. Little anime review for you guys as I set it up here. So the anime that I'm currently showing at my anime club here at Brooklyn College, yeah, a little self-plug there, president of the anime club here at Brooklyn College, we are currently watching Genshiken. Now, a lot of you guys might be asking, what the heck is Genshiken? Well, I'll gladly tell you. Genshiken. Now, come closer, folks. Come closer as I steal a move from Marvin, my former partner. Closer. 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 You there? Okay. It's an anime about an anime club. Whoa. Yeah, that just... That is the sort of anime that I've been waiting to see since I started watching this stuff, you know? I mean, an anime that makes fun of anime clubs. I mean, my God, yes. This isn't even the American anime clubs they're making fun of. This is making fun of the otaku. The anime fan in Japan. There's this club called Genshiken, whose American translation is so long, I don't even want to try and say it on the air. But their goal is to sit around and watch this anime called Kujibiki Unbalanced. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I'm sure I absolutely butchered that. I have no idea what that was, folks, but that was the weirdest noise I've ever heard in my life. As I completely lose my train of thought because of that. So they watch this anime, and they sit around and talk about it. They go to conventions. They go to manga conventions. They go to anime conventions. They buy their stuff. They even buy hentai. Yeah, hentai, which is something that I will never watch because I really don't see the point, but some people do, apparently. And they sit around and talk about it. And there's one member of the club, well, not exactly an official member. Well, she does become one at point. It's not really giving away a spoiler because it's not really the type of anime where you'd have to worry about spoilers. But there's one normal girl who's trying to get with one of the otakus. Of course, doesn't look like a regular otaku, which made me happy because there's plenty of normal-looking people out there that like anime. There's plenty of geeks out there that look like the regular person. Yeah. I know. You don't believe me. Well, that's just fine. But I'm talking to the audience right now that knows exactly what I'm talking about. You geeks out there know exactly what I'm talking about. We don't all look like the fat slobs that you see on The Simpsons, satirical geeks and all that that they use there. No, we're normal looking. Most of the time. I mean, sure, we might have a few shirts, you know, that proudly display our geekdom. Well, we're normal enough. But then there are the otakus. And this is a normal-looking otaku that this girl's trying to get with. So she goes to every meeting and eventually starts dreading going to every meeting but she still goes because she wants to get with this guy who she knew in her past, and that's exactly the reason why, blah, 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 blah. But it's a very, very funny anime. The jokes in it are hilarious. There's not one joke in it that I passed over as, you know, unnecessary. And it's being released on DVD right now. I believe it's up to volume 2 in the DVD release. And the... if you want to go the illegal route, which you shouldn't, by the way. But if you do, I'm sure you can find the torrent of it somewhere. That's, of course, what I'm currently showing to my club. But again, don't tell everybody. Don't tell anybody. And I'm sure I'm going to own the actual copy once it comes out. See, my stance on piracy, as I'm going to put it right now, is if you plan on buying the actual copy of something, well, then by all means, download it ahead of time. You know, I mean, you're going to have a copy in your hand soon enough. If you can't wait, go ahead. An album leaps, go ahead. There's really no problem with that. Just as long as you're planning on buying it eventually. But if you're not planning on buying it eventually, that's where I draw the line. I am planning on buying Genshiken, hence why I'm showing the fan subs to the world. But yeah, Genshiken, I would have to give that about a 4 out of 5, maybe even a 5 out of 5. This is a hilarious anime, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. Now it's time for the segment that I like to call the wind-up here on GeekSpeak, where I talk about some sports. Yeah, so for those of you who do not actually enjoy sports, now would be the time to turn the podcast off for maybe 3 minutes or fast forward and then head on back so that I can have my wrap-up here. But here's the wind-up. So the New York Yankees are in first place for the first time all season. They were in first place for a very, very short time, for about a day back in July, but I'm not really going to count that. The Yankees are a tough team. The Yankees are the sort of team that you can root for, that you hope that they actually make themselves better and get themselves out there day after day and eventually find their way into the playoffs. Now, a lot of people out there do not like the Yankees because they're fans of another team, whether it be the Mets, whether it be the Red Sox, whether it be even the Oakland Athletics or the Anaheim Angels. I'm not going to call them the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels because that's just silly. A lot of people don't like the Yankees. Me, I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, so I'm happy to see where they are right now. I think they're going to end the season right where they are right now. The Boston Red Sox, good club, terrible, terrible, terrible pitching staff. They're just tired. Curt Schilling is half the pitcher they used to be. Their bullpen is pathetic. They've gone through closers like Sox, hence why they are the Red Sox. And, of course, Schilling living up to the name Red Sox with his red bloody sock in last year's playoffs. But once again, I digress. The Yankees, I say, there's about a 70% chance that the Yankees will end up in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll get past the first round, but they're going to end up in the playoffs at least. But now here's the question you ask. Do you get rid of Joe Torre if they do not make it to the playoffs? I say if you do, you're crazy. Joe Torre is a motivator. Joe Torre is the sort of man you need running this staff. If you don't have him, then you're pretty much doomed to failure. I know people don't like to hear that, but yeah, you're pretty much doomed to failure if you do not have him back on this club. Now, does George Steinbrenner think that? That's another question. Yankees are going to make it. Trust me on this. That's the windup. Here's the pitch. Every Monday from 2 to 3, here on Brooklyn College Radio and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, you can hear me, Ian Levenstein, with my partner Michael Hornstein, talking sports. See? I'm a geek who knows sports. That does exist as well. Isn't that a shock, folks? All right. I think I'm pretty much at my time here, so I think I'm going to wrap things up here on GeekSpeak. Once again, I am Ian Levenstein, and this is pretty much the trial run, working out the kinks here on the show. So as the weeks go on, I'm sure this will be a much more polished setup. But nevertheless, once again, you can hear me every Thursday from 6 to 7 here on Brooklyn College Radio, streaming on the web, brooklyncollegeradio.org. But like I said, we will probably have the TypePad account up within the next few weeks. And once I do, this show will officially be a podcast. And I'm going to test the waters a little bit. I'm going to head over to the Comic Geek Speak message boards and show them this show, of which they can download in their leisure, put it up on a mega upload or something along those lines, and see what they think of it before I actually put it out there as a podcast. Comic Geek Speak, by the way, the best comic podcast you can hear on the internet. Big props to them. Brian Deemer puts out a great product week after week, as do the rest of the boys. So once again, I am Ian Levenstein, and this was Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio. And I hope to see you next week. Take care, everybody. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.